You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Thursday, September 8th. It is time for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor today, Pastor Jared Tucher of Trinity Lutheran Church in Gillette, Wyoming. Good morning, Pastor Tucher.
Good morning, Andy.
Glad to have you as our guest this morning. Thanks for starting your morning nice and early with us in Gillette, Wyoming. Tell us about Trinity Lutheran Church there in Gillette.
Trinity Lutheran Church, we're a congregation serving northeastern Wyoming. So that's a very big, was a very big coal industry before we saw some loss in jobs there. But congregation going good, strong congregation with a thriving preschool and good place to visit if you're in the area.
Well, very good. Glad that that Trinity is there proclaiming the good news, that you're serving the saints and the community there at Trinity so that they may receive the good gifts of God. We're in Philippians chapter 1 today, verses 1 through 20. Is that right, Pastor?
That is correct.
Anything you'd like for us to know as we prepare to study this text? Any context you want us to understand?
No, not really. I think we'll just dive right into it.
All right.
And see what we get here.
Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, is what we're studying today. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have our greeting here. Anything unique or significant about this greeting, Pastor?
Paul starts off addressing Paul and Timothy, calling them servants of Christ Jesus. The Greek word there for servant is douloi, which is often translated as slave. But here, we use it as the word servant. As one who gives himself up to another's will. But for those whose service is used by Christ in extending his kingdom and furthering the gospel among men. So some translations, you'll see the word slave. It's not a bad translation, but servant gives it the better feel to it. As someone working alongside with someone.
Sure. And just a line later, the next sentence, we see the word servant or diakonos, the deacons there in to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. So we see another version of that word servant, right?
Right. And so Paul, he's very particular in the words that he uses. Using the word servant over slave, addressing all of the saints, not just the overseers and the deacons, that is what we would call the clergy today, but addressing all of the saints. Because as we'll see later in chapter 1 and throughout Paul's letter to the Philippians, all of the saints are important to Paul, not just the leaders in the church, because all of the church has this role in proclaiming the gospel. You know, that's Great Commission language in Matthew 28. That's for everyone, not just for the leaders. And so you'll see throughout all of Paul's epistles, the saints, that is all of the Christian church, very important to Paul, because all of the church has a role in proclaiming the gospel.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything else before we go on to verse 3, Pastor?
No, that's just Paul's standard greeting in his epistles. Nothing really important there, other than that's traditionally how how your pastor would start his sermon off, the grace and peace of God and of Christ.
I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer. Pastor?
Yeah. When Paul writes his letters, whether letters of encouragement or letters of chastisement, because the church isn't really acting like the church, Paul likes to start out with the positive. And here for the Philippian church, the positive is, what joy has the Philippian church brought Paul? It's a rough time. It's roughly 60 A.D., so about 30 years after the death of Christ. Christianity is not exactly popular. Paul knows that firsthand, as his previous life as Saul, with the goal of persecuting the church. So it's not a good thing to be a Christian, but the Philippians, they have been faithful to the teaching of Christ from the very beginning. And for Paul, that's where he finds his joy, because he is not a one-man show with regards to spreading the gospel. As I said, that's the work of the entire church. And the church there at Philippi, they understood that, and they did it. And so they went out. They believed the gospel of Christ that Paul preached, and they continued to preach that same gospel to others.
And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's a very important verse there. He says, we'll bring it to completion. When you're looking at the Passion of Christ, and the seven last words from the cross, and when he says, it is finished, the word there is tetelestai, meaning that everything that is necessary for salvation is complete. And so we'll bring it to completion. It uses a form of that word. What Paul is meaning here, he assures the Christians that God will complete the work of redemption in our lives. That is something that is sure and certain. It's not something that you have to wonder, will God follow through on his promise or not? This promise is as good as done, because it goes back to what Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Everything that I have to do in order to save creation has been done. It has been fulfilled. And so that continues on throughout the life of the church. What promise has God ever made but not followed through with? I can't think of one, can you?
No, he is faithful to his word. He keeps his promises.
Yeah, and if he makes a promise, it's as good as done. When you read Isaiah, for instance, he's kind of hard to follow because one minute he's talking past tense, the next present tense, and then the next future tense, all within the same chapter, the same verse. Because as far as he's concerned, if God made the promise, it's done. Even if it hasn't happened right this moment, God said it, it's done. And so when Jesus said that it is finished, it's done. And Paul reminds the people that that the work of Christ is finished, that it assures us that God has indeed kept his promise and will continue to do so until that day when Christ returns or when he calls us home, whichever comes first.
It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel.
Oh, this is good stuff. What does it mean to be a partaker of grace? To be grateful and to eagerly join with Paul, with all of the Church of Christendom in the spread and the defense of the gospel. And what is grace but nothing more than God's favor and his merciful love and kindness? Paul talks there of his imprisonment. Now, when Paul says imprisonment here, it's not like what you and I would think of today. This goes back to Acts chapter 22, and then in chapter 23, Paul is moved to Caesarea for his safety. The message that Paul is preaching is not a popular one. And so they move him to Caesarea. And so when it says imprisonment, it's not really jail like you and I would imagine. It's more like a glorified house arrest. Paul is still able to move about freely. He's still able to come into contact with the church, with his associates. He's able to continue to do what he's been called to do, and that is to spread the gospel. And when he says, in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, false doctrine exists in the church. It always has, and it always will, because Satan is always at work to get us to question whether or not what God said is indeed true. So the question is, what will you do when faced with said false doctrine? Do you let it continue and confuse or destroy the true doctrine of the church? Or do you stomp it out before it causes great damage? And for the Philippians, they chose to do the latter. They chose to go at this head on and preach Christ and him crucified, put to rest any false doctrine, any doubt, and get Christ in front of the people, because it is Christ and Christ alone that will save.
For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Just about a minute here to look at these couple of verses, Pastor.
This is just more praise from Paul. regarding the steadfastness of the Philippians and the joy that they are to him and to the church because of the faith that they have. Who doesn't like to get that occasional pat on the back for doing a job well done? And that's what Paul is kind of here doing for the Philippians. Tell them, hey, you guys have done a good job. You're out there. You're preaching Christ. You're doing what the mission of the church is. And kudos to you guys for doing it. And so really, that's all that is. Just more praise from Paul, more thanks for the Philippian church in being in the proclamation of the gospel.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Jared Tucher of Trinity Lutheran Church in Gillette, Wyoming. We're in Philippians chapter 1 today. If you have a question or a comment, send us an email, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
No one likes asking for help, but as we age, that little bit of extra assistance can make remaining independent easier. Lutheran Senior Services Home and Community-Based Services helps clients live life to the fullest right in the comfort of home. Whether it's an extra set of hands for getting things done, skilled nursing or therapy after an illness, or an alert button that triggers a call for help, it's available. Lutheran Senior Services, trusted for a reason. LSSLiving.org.
After reading a thoughtful book, or even part of it, do we not many times want to tell someone else what we've read? Do we not many times wish we could do this with the author? This is exactly what we do on Book Talk, Fridays at 2 p.m., streaming online and archived thereafter for your 24/7 consumption.
Friday afternoon at 2 on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Jared Tucher of Trinity Lutheran Church in Gillette, Wyoming. We're in Philippians chapter 1 today and picking up at verse 12. Pastor, anything else before we go on to verse 12 I should ask?
No, I think the beginning of this chapter of this book, much like all of Paul's others, he wants to give you praise for doing what is right. And that's something that our selfish beings, we like to get that praise heaped upon us. But Paul, he's not trying to strike or to stroke our ego here. He's just telling the church, you guys are doing what the church is supposed to do, and good job for doing that.
Verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. All right. So I want you to know, brothers, what has happened to me is for the sake of the gospel. It served to advance the gospel. Pastor?
What has happened to Paul? He's in jail, or like I said, a glorified house arrest. Would you consider being put in jail a good thing? I wouldn't. I mean, personally, I don't relish the idea of being behind bars. But Paul, he doesn't see it that way. For Paul, he uses this as an opportunity to spread the gospel. And being on that glorified house arrest, I have to remember, Paul is a Roman citizen. And he kind of holds that close to the chest in the book of Acts until just the right time. And then when everything seems to be going south, that's when Paul plays his trump card of, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. And so that kind of unlocks doors for Paul. And so he's taken to Caesarea, he's on house arrest here. He's not imprisoned because he's a murderer. He's not imprisoned because of spousal abuse or whatever you and I would read in the paper as cause for people finding themselves in jail. Paul was imprisoned because he was a Christian, because he taught the saving message of Jesus Christ. And you look at where society is today, you look at where society is going tomorrow, pastors can and pastors have found themselves in hot water with the law because they preach something that is different than what the world wants to hear. They preach something that is different than what the world thinks should be. And so even in what you and I would consider dire times of being in jail, Paul uses this to his benefit. He uses this as another springboard for going about and preaching the gospel.
And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. They're more confident because of this.
Yeah. Who would have thought, by watching your brother thrown in jail, that would give you a shot of courage to go out and to preach the gospel? It's funny how that works. But you look at this and you see that, if Paul can do something like this, and no major ramifications happen to him, what can I do? If Paul can do this, then so can I. And so it helps spur on others. As they see what happened to Paul, and what if Paul were taken out of the equation completely? Paul is your number one evangelizer for the gospel right now. And what if he disappears? What's going to happen to the church? Question is, are you going to step up? Are you going to do what's necessary? And that's what the brothers there in Philippi did. They went and they acted almost as if Paul, he's not around anymore. He can't do it, and so I'm going to do it. And so they get out. They're bold. They give that gospel witness, and they preach Christ.
Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. For the former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. So some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill.
You have different preachers on the scene. You've got the Pharisees. They're the religious leaders of the day. And what Christ are they preaching? They might be preaching Christ. It's more a preaching of salvation by keeping of the law. And you'll see there are those that preach the gospel out of genuine concern, There are others that do it. See, what can this get me? And Paul, he isn't in it for the fortune and the fame. He's not in it for any sort of recognition. Paul is out preaching and teaching because this is a message that all of God's creation needs to hear. And so he's going to go out. He's going to do it. And the Philippians, where are they falling on this? They're not on the side of preaching Christ from envy or rivalry. Their mindset is that of Paul. They're doing it because this is the message that saves, and no other message than this.
What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice.
Yeah. What then? All right, now what? What's going to happen now? And it's Paul's rhetorical question. Is God going to follow through on everything? Is God going to do what God says that he's going to do? And the answer is a resounding yes. Paul knows that firsthand. He knows what what God has promised to do. He's seen that promise fulfilled in himself when he encounters Jesus. Christ, God has presented the gospel in Christ, and Christ has come. Christ has done what he said that he will do, and now the church continues to spread that gospel. So whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice.
Yes.
What does Paul want more than anything? Wants the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed. And if that happens, then it's a good day for Paul.
Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death.
Verse 18, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. And then in 18b, yes, and I will rejoice. Why is Paul going to rejoice? If he's already rejoicing now, why is he going to do it? Because he knows that the gospel of Jesus Christ will continue to be spread. It'll be spread long after Paul departs this earth. It'll be proclaimed long after the church at Philippi. It'll be proclaimed long after Trinity Lutheran Church in Gillette, Wyoming. The word of the Lord endures forever. And that word of the Lord will continue to do its work. And for Paul, he knows that God will continue to use men like him. He knows that he will continue to use churches like that, Philippi, to continue spreading the gospel. And once again, Paul is giving thanks to this church because he knows that this is a church that is grounded and rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knows that they will continue to go and to preach and teach. He knows that they're going to do the work that the church should be called to do. And for that, he rejoices. That is his eager expectation and hope. That he won't be ashamed of the gospel, but instead that he will, with full courage, be honored, whether by life or by death, because that gospel message, it brings life. And Paul knows if he dies today, he's with Christ. If he lives another 100 years proclaiming the gospel and dies, he's with Christ. For him, that gospel is what prevails. And no matter when Paul dies, he can look back at his life post-conversion and say that his life was a life of bearing witness about Jesus Christ and the life eternal that comes from him, a life that cannot be taken away.
Looking over the text as a whole today, verses 1 through 20 in Philippians chapter 1, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this as a whole?
You know, as you're reading Philippians, Philippians is a book that that stands out. It's almost in part like Paul's thank you letter to the church for being what the church is supposed to be. Like I said, it's not exactly great times for the church. Christianity is not popular, but here is a church that is being faithful. And fast forward 2,000 years, not a whole lot's changed. Christianity does not seem to be popular today. We're seeing this in court cases, but we're seeing where the rights of the Christian are being put in the back seat. It's not popular to be a Christian, but what are we called to do? Are we called to just give in and do whatever the world expects of us? Or are we to be faithful to that word, to our vocation as brothers and sisters in Christ, spreading the gospel? I think a lot of these opening words of Philippians, they can be written to the church at your place right now. Because what Paul says is just as applicable to the church today as it was to the church at Philippi some 2,000 years ago.
Our guest today, Pastor Jared Tucher of Trinity Lutheran Church in Gillette, Wyoming. Pastor Tucher, thanks for being our guest, helping us study God's Word in Philippians chapter 1.
Well, you're very welcome, and God's blessings to all of you this day.
Thank you.
Whether it's early for you or late, depending on where you're at.
God bless you and all the saints at Trinity Lutheran Church in Gillette, Wyoming. Coming up in just a moment, Historically Speaking with Concordia Historical Institute. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.